We would like to welcome you to church this morning, and I would like to point out that our wonderful and amazing director here, Miss Julie Wonderjim, could you raise your hand? A lot of times people see John Wonderjim because John Wonderjim is loud and big and very energetic, and they think that he is Royal Family Kids Camp, and oh, look at all the things that he does. But the reality is that without this amazing woman here, Royal Family Kids does not happen. And if you have not had an opportunity to get to know one of the most compassionate, beautiful, amazing individuals on the planet, you need to take that opportunity, because this woman here is a true gift from the Lord. I'll cry thinking about it. She's going to be 40 this week, so everybody, happy birthday to Julie. Yes, indeed. Let's open in prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning. Lord, I vacate all of me in this moment and ask simply that your Holy Spirit would speak, that you have words that you want to speak to individuals that are in this room right now. And Lord, nothing else matters other than your words getting to those individuals where they are to change what's going on in their lives and give them your hope. And so I pray that you would be in complete and total control of this service this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Royal Family Kids Camp, we have three sayings, mottos that we go by. Anybody that's been around with us for a long time has probably heard me say them multiple times. The first one is treat people royally. The second one is make moments matter. And the third one is keep moving forward. And so I was thinking about those, thinking about this awesome RFK Sunday. And thank you, Harbor Church, for always partnering with us and for making RFK a highlight in what we do. It is such an amazing ministry to be able to go out and to reach children that are in our local foster care system. So for somebody that may be here for the first time and you're like, what in the world is Royal Family Kids Camp? Well, let me give you a quick rundown. Julie and I run One Hope Alliance, which is a nonprofit that houses Royal Family Kids Camp and Team Reach Adventure Camp. Royal Family Kids Camp reaches kids ages 6 to 12 years old in our local foster care system by bringing them to a week of camp and just loving on them and showing them the love of Jesus Christ. And in exchange for that, they now understand the hope of Jesus Christ. And it changes their mindset of who they are and the value that they have. And it's an incredible week. And so we were doing that for 4 years, going on 5 years now. And we were starting to graduate kids at 12 years old. And it was kind of breaking our hearts. Like, man, what are we going to do with these kids? They're going into their teenage years and we're not being able to keep up with them because our program is not really designed for that. And so a good friend of mine who is here this morning, Jonathan, if you'll raise your hand, just raise your hand. I know you don't like to be called out, man. Another amazing, incredible person right there. One of my heroes, Jonathan, and his wife, Victoria, who could not be here today, but again, another incredible woman who just said, we see that. We see that there's these young people that we need to continue investing and pouring into. And so they went and they got themselves trained to start Teen Reach Adventure Camp, which is a camp experience for kids ages 12 to 16 years old. So now we have the opportunity to reach these children between the ages of 6 and 16 years old and constantly pour into them the hope and the love of Jesus Christ. And it's incredible. Julie has the privilege, I don't know if you think it's a privilege, more of a responsibility as the director, but she goes to every single office in our parish, or in our, region, which is five parishes, and she speaks to the caseworkers there and tells them about our different programming. And in doing so, she has the opportunity to hear back from caseworkers who have sent their kids to camp. And they could not stop talking about Royal Family Kids Camp and Team Reach Adventure Camp and how these kids did not want to go at the beginning of the week. Just like us, change is not a fun thing, especially for a child in foster care who says, you're sending me somewhere else. What does this mean? What's going to happen with me? Where am I going after this? There's all that uncertainty. And these kids, they didn't want to go. They're like, no, that's not my thing. No thanks. The caseworker was basically like, you are going. Sorry. I'm going to make you go. So they show up. Two kids in particular, two young boys that had no desire to be a part of this lovey-dovey, let's all just cuddle around a campfire and kumbaya. And because in their mind, that's what's going down. That's not what goes down at camp, just so you know. Okay, but in their mind, that's what they're thinking. And so these two young men showed up with really no desire to be there at all. 3 days is all that Team Reach Adventure Camp is. It's a weekend. By the end of those 3 days, when the caseworker picked up these young men, they were crying, 15 and 16-year-old boys crying, didn't want to leave. Not because we created some amazing experience for them. I mean, we did. We did some cool things. But it wasn't that. It wasn't that all of a sudden just made them say, oh, I want more of this. No, what they wanted more of was that love that was coming from their counselors, that genuine love that can only come from Jesus Christ. Amen. And so these boys got to experience that. And again, we say that this changes the trajectory. It's always a word I struggle with there. Everybody, let's say it together. It's a fun word to say. Trajectory. Oh, yes. Good. Thanks. And so it changes the trajectory of where these kids are going. You know, it's cool to me because I always think of that word and what does it mean? And it's the direction in which something is traveling. And we've started this arrows class here. And it's so cool to have Seth on the simulcast, podcast, whatever cast thing it is. I don't know technology, but it's some kind of cast. And he's there live, and he's talking about how we can invest in our kids and how we can model for them and teach them. And he talks about the scripture, Psalms 127, 4 through 5, I think it is. Pulling that off of my head, so if I'm wrong, forgive me. Okay? But it talks about children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. And as parents, we're responsible for where these children are going, or at least we're launching them out into the world. God is responsible for where they will end up. But we talk about children in foster care. Who's shooting their arrow? Who's their archer? And what ends up happening is, because of neglect, abandonment, abuse, verbally, physically, sexually, whatever the case may be. Because of these things, the arrow starts going way off from where the target is, the target that God has set for them. But I like to stop and think about that word trajectory and how God is ultimately in control. And if we will just be open vessels to come in. Anybody ever watch Flash or know who Flash is? My boy. There you go. Okay, I don't know. Flash was not in my notes, but check this out. There was an episode of Flash where, like, okay, the dude's super fast, right? And he can, like, run past things and change things while everybody else is, like, standing there like this, right? And there was one episode where, like, something was flying through the air and he runs real fast and, like, pushes it and it goes the opposite direction of where it was going to go so it doesn't hit the person it was intended to hit. That's kind of how I think we could be. Okay, this morning you get the opportunity to be Flash. And here's how you can be Flash. Show up. Show up and be involved. It's that simple. And so when that arrow that was shot out of abuse and neglect and abandonment starts to go this way, when the target's that way, we could be like Flash. Interject Jesus's hope. Push that arrow. Whoosh, and now it's right back towards where it was supposed to go. That's some cool stuff, huh? I think so. All right, so let me get into my notes because that had nothing to do with my notes. That just came out of nowhere. It's cool how the Holy Spirit used comic books to get a message across. I like that. There you go. I like that. All right. So, again, treat people royally, make moments matter, keep moving forward. And I like how this video, I didn't even remember the things that I said when Ryan was shooting them, but the thing that he highlighted was making moments matter. Whether we're talking about Royal Family Kids Camp, Team Reach Adventure Camp, or your everyday life, we need to make moments matter. Everybody do me a favor. Take a deep breath in and take a deep breath out. Were you able to do that? Then guess what? You still have life to live. You have a breath to breathe, and you have moments to make matter. I think back on Jesus' life here on earth. He made a lot of moments matter. A lot of moments that we wouldn't think anything about in a regular, ordinary situation. And then they became these amazing God moments because he decided to just show up and be Jesus. If we decide to show up and be like Jesus, ordinary moments turn into God moments. Let's take a look at, there was a lady that had just committed adultery. They were dragging her into the street. They were about to stone her. So they pull her up in front of Jesus, who, look, he's doing his own thing over here, talking to some people, sharing love with them, sharing hope with them, doing his thing. They decide to get him involved by pulling this lady up and going, oh, what would you do in this situation? Jesus didn't ask to be in that situation. He didn't purposely go find that situation. He was presented with a moment. So Jesus walked over, started doodling in the sand, and then looked at the other people who were trying to condemn this woman who had committed adultery. She was guilty. But Jesus recognized that we're all guilty. And he looked at them and he said, hey, anybody over there that doesn't have any sin in their lives, feel free to pick up a stone and throw it. He used a moment, not just to impact this woman, but to impact all of them. Because now they had to stop and think and contemplate, who am I? What am I doing? Because here I am condemning this woman, but whew, I got a lot of stuff I got to deal with on my own too. See, that's the cool thing about how Jesus did his thing. We all think that he was there for that woman. And I'm sure she's pretty glad he was there. But the fact is, Jesus didn't just impact that woman. He impacted everybody that was around in his environment at that moment. And it was a simple moment that may or may not have been planned. I don't know the mind of God, maybe. But the fact of the matter is, all of us are placed in moments like that where we have an opportunity to defend somebody, where we have an opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life when nobody else is, when we have an opportunity to say something when nobody else is going to say anything. And if we choose to show up and do that, it changes the environment, not just for the person that we're impacting, but I guarantee you, everybody that's around that's viewing it as well is changed. Jesus went to the cross, was hanging on the cross in unfathomable amount of pain for a crime he did not commit, hanging on a cross. There's a lot of things that would go through my head in a moment like that. Number one, anger. Why am I here? I didn't do anything wrong. Number two, I can't handle this pain. This is too much. Just take it away from me. But it was a moment for him because there was a guy on a cross right next to him that was being prosecuted and slaughtered for the crimes that he had committed. And that guy looked over at Jesus and said, you know what? I believe you are who you say you are. And man, I'm sorry for the things I've done. Can you forgive me? And in all of the pain, and in all of the rejection and frustration, Jesus looked over and he said, you're in, man. Today, you're a part of my kingdom. In a moment where he could have been thinking about anything else, could have been focused on anything else. Man, if I'm hanging there unjustly, suffering, I'm probably not, I wish it was, but probably not in my most difficult moments am I thinking about the dude right here who wants some redemption. Hey, deal with your own problems, bro. I'm hanging on a cross too. If I'm being real, that's probably what's running through my head. Not Jesus. He said, this is my moment for that guy. This is his moment, and I'm going to make it matter. That's pretty awesome. Amen. How about this? Jesus is walking through a crowd. He's the Justin Timberlake of the crowd, all right? Everybody's following him. Oh, my goodness. And I only say that because the dude was on the Super Bowl thing. And then there was that kid that didn't even know who he was with the phone. That was pretty funny. Oh, my gosh, I don't know who this is, but we're getting a selfie. So Jesus is walking through this crowd. Yeah, I like to interject a little comedy here. Y'all are looking like, yo, whew, just need y'all to breathe. Remember, it's good. Okay. He's walking through a crowd. He's the superstar at the moment. Remember, we just talked about a moment where he wasn't the superstar. He was the one hanging on the cross because everybody was fickle and decided to change and turn on him all of a sudden. But this is one of his moments where he's walking through a crowd. He's touching people, talking to people, shaking hands, kissing babies on the forehead, probably, you know, all that kind of stuff that we normally do, right? It's his moment. And out of nowhere, a lady comes through and grabs him and is immediately healed of a sickness that she's been dealing with for a long, long time. And so Jesus stops. He says, who touched me? They said, probably plenty of people touched you, man. You're walking through a crowd of people. He says, yeah, but something just happened. So the lady comes forward and he takes the opportunity to love on that lady in the middle of what's going on. This is his moment. Everybody's cheering for him. He's the superstar. And he takes the opportunity to shift that and say, you know what, that's all great and all, but this lady matters. Right now, this lady matters, and I'm going to minister to her. So we've got our moments where we suffer, where we're in pain, where we're in difficult situations. Are we going to think about other people and make them matter in those moments? We've got our moments where we're superstars, where we're the highlight of everybody. Oh, yay, look at all you do. Okay? And so we could be like, hey, look at all I do. Feel good about ourselves. You'll get your moment later. You go over there. I'm getting my moment right now. That's not what Jesus did. He made other people's moments matter too. Other people's moments mattered just as much to him. So, here's what the Holy Spirit has been dealing with me on. And I imagine that it's probably not something isolated to just me. I imagine that it's something that all of us at some point struggle with. So I sat in a chair somewhere in that area over there a few weeks back, feeling pretty ill-equipped. I felt crappy about myself. Is that okay? Say that? Okay. Anybody ever felt crappy about themselves? Like, man, I can't do this. What am I? I've had all these privileges and responsibilities, or all these privileges and opportunities and all this stuff, and what have I done with it? And man, I was fussing at my kids earlier this morning, and I called them a name, and I was fussing at my wife, and didn't do it, and like I missed this opportunity, and I just, oh, goodness. And I'm sitting there just angry with myself, not being who God wanted me to be, condemning myself. And then we started singing a song. And a lot of times I think we come into worship and we just start singing a song because we know the song and we like the song and the way that it sounds and all this kind of stuff. And so we just go through the motions of singing the song. But sometimes it's a good idea to stop and actually listen to the words that you were saying coming out of your mouth. And when I did that with this particular song, the power of it washed over me and kind of changed the trajectory of where I was in that moment. Do you have, I don't know if you have the scripture, Isaiah 45, 2 through 3. This is what the Lord says, I will go before you, Cyrus. I will level the mountains. I will smash down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. And I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. Go ahead and go to 18 and 19, I think. Yeah. For the Lord is God, and he created the heavens and earth and put everything in place. He made the world to be lived in, not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord, he says, and there is no other. I publicly proclaim bold promises. I do not whisper obscurities in some dark corner. I would not have told the people of Israel to seek me if I could not be found. I, the Lord, speak only what is true and declare only what is right. Check this out. Let's go back to verse 2 and 3 again. Let's go to 3. And I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. There's no shadow you won't light up. Let's go back to 2. This is what the Lord says, I will level the mountains. No mountain you won't climb up. I will smash down gates of bronze. No wall you won't kick down. Let's go to 19. I, the Lord, speak only what is true and declare only what is right. No lie I won't tear down coming after you. See, here's the deal, is that in this moment right now, this is your moment. This is your moment. You are sitting there terrorizing yourself, saying that you have done everything wrong, saying that you are not able, believing that God is frustrated with you. And all he's saying is, there's no shadow I won't light up, no mountain I won't climb up, no wall I won't kick down, and no lie I won't tear down, because I am coming after you. You matter, and this moment is your moment. We are here in this room right now, and God is saying to you, whoever you are, whatever you are going through, you matter. Amen. You see, this is Sunday morning. It's our morning to come and to worship and praise God. This is him. This is all for him. This is his. Yeah, it is. But in all of that, of all of us glorifying him, he's saying, you know what? This is also a moment for me to make a difference in the lives of my children. And there are people sitting in this seat here today who are like me, who were sitting in a seat a couple of weeks ago, who were saying, man, I don't know what in the world I'm doing. And I could have just sat there and wallowed in that and continued in that. But God said, there's no lie. I'm not going to tear down. And you're not going to sit in that shadow, and I'm not going to light it up. I'm coming after you. He's coming after you. Now, you have a choice when he comes after you.
Come on.
Julie, come here for a minute. You get to be God. Works for me. Need you to come after me. I can do this. Okay? And I can allow God to embrace me. Or I can do this. Thank you. You did awesome. I'm so proud of you. I guess the only thing that I have to say number one, what will you do with this moment? Because it's the only one we have promised to us right now. The moments that have happened in the past, we can't change them. And whether or not we get moments in the future is not in our hands. But what we have right now is this moment. You are here in this moment. And God is taking this moment to tell you that you matter. And don't think, oh, that guy's just talking to the person sitting next to me. Or he's talking to, nope. Talking to all 47 and a half people that are sitting in this room. I don't know, sorry. Okay? Because you matter. What are you going to do with this moment? Are you going to run and embrace the Father who is running after you and chasing after you? Or are you going to continue to run away into the darkness? That's a question only you can answer. Because you can keep telling yourself, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. Oh, I've made too many mistakes. God doesn't want me. Oh, you know, I look good to people if they really knew. All these other things. Yeah, those are all real nice lies. Because listen, I live in a world, if I'm being completely honest with you, where I'm supposed to keep this image up. Oh, that's the guy that raises all these kids and he's adopted all these kids and he does all these cool programs and oh, he posts on Facebook all these religious things. And so, yeah, supposed to keep up that image. But the reality is it's a dude who's at home yelling at his kids sometimes and he's fussy and uh-oh, he said a curse word and other things like that. Hey, let's be real. Because I ain't standing before God and being a liar. Let's be real. But the fact of the matter is, despite all of those goofy, foolish things that I do, I still have a God who is chasing after me. And despite all of the goofy and foolish things that you do, you still have a God who is chasing, not just like, I'm coming, Julie. I love you. I'll be there in a minute. Nope. Oh, my goodness. It's so good to see you. Hey, don't mess up my microphone. Okay, cool. That's the God we serve. Running, chasing, coming after me. So here we are again in a moment. I remember the keys. How about that? Yeah. It makes everything more magical. What will you do with this moment? Maybe your moment is God's been calling and calling and calling you to go do something. And you've kind of ignored it because you don't feel like that's who you are. Because the mountain seems too high. Or the wall is in the way. Or you've been living in the shadows of somebody else. or you believe in a lie that's been told to you. But we know what God does with all those things. We were talking to our 10-year-old daughter yesterday. She said, I'm not very good at that. And my wife looked at her and said, you know what you need to start saying? With Christ, all things are possible. She said, yeah, I do need to do that. We could be sitting in this room here today going, I'm not too good at that. That's not my thing. You know what? With Christ, all things are possible. One other thing Julie told her was, you know what? I don't know who told you that you weren't good at that, but that's a lie. That's not true. Maybe you can do anything. And I think that's what God's doing with us right now, too. We've bought into whatever lie we're telling ourselves or listening to right now, saying, nope, can't do that because I'm not able or I'm not good enough. And God is flat out staring you in the eye right now, like my wife was with my 10-year-old little girl, saying, baby, you can do anything. Anything. This is your moment. Do not sit in the shadows and listen to the lies anymore. Become a mountain climber. You know what? Even better. Get Jesus on your squad and become a mountain leveler. You are capable. You are able. You know, I had this whole deal set up. Oh, I'm going to talk about Royal Family Kids and how people should go out and do this and how they should get involved and be missionaries and all this kind of stuff. That's great. There'll be plenty of time to talk about Royal Family Kids. Right now, I want to talk about you. Right now, I want you to understand your value. Right now, not me. Jesus wants you to know your value to him. Because none of this stuff was in my notes. But the Holy Spirit's speaking. And when he speaks, I shut up and let him do his thing. And hopefully he's speaking to you right now and telling you that you are able. And that, man, no matter what you have done, no matter who you think you've failed, no matter what junk you got going on, that was the past. Guess what? This is a new moment. Make it matter. The beauty of Jesus Christ is that we can take this moment and say, it's changing. The trajectory is now going this way. I'm not going that way anymore. I'm hitting that target you set for me. And it doesn't have to be, oh, I was going this way, so now I'm going to have to work myself back over and try and get over to where I need to be to get back on course. Nope. I'm going this way, and in a moment I stop and say, Jesus, man, I've messed up, but I need you. And he goes and boom, bumps me right over here. And guess where I'm at? Right back on track. Because the beauty of it is there's no work that we can do to make ourselves worthy of this. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. Aren't those words to that song? There's nothing I can do to earn it. That's right. But if I cry out to Jesus in this moment, he will change my trajectory and put me back on the path that he set for me in the beginning. Prayer team, come up, please. Here's what I want us to do this morning, man. It's very, very simple. You have a God who created all of heaven and earth, who is here right now, and he is speaking into your life. Do not miss that moment. If you've never even accepted Jesus Christ, here's your moment. to step into that and find out the beauty of his value for you and to find out the beauty of his plan for you and to experience that. If you have served Christ all of your life, but you just feel like, man, I've messed up in so many different ways. Cool. So have I. So many times. But this is your moment to step up and say, you know what? We're changing that. And God, I may mess up again and I may stumble and stumble and stumble. Like Ryan said this morning, even though I stumble seven times, I still get up again. It's not about the falling, it's about the getting up. It's not about the mistake, it's about whether or not you'll receive the redemption and move forward from it. This is your opportunity. This is your moment. Jesus is here in this crowd, and he wants to speak to you and wants to change you. These guys are here this morning, and they will pray with you for whatever situation, whatever place you are in. And if that is you, don't miss this moment. Father God, we come to you right now, and more than anything at all, I want to thank you for showing up. Thank you for being here when some of us may not feel like we deserve another breath in our lungs. And we feel like giving up. But you have shown up to chase after us. I wish we could hear it, because I imagine in my mind, probably not imagine, I probably hear your voice saying, John, you matter, and I am here, do not give up. And for some sitting in this crowd today, they need to hear that loud voice screaming in their ear, I am here for you, I love you, and you matter. You matter. Don't give up. I have a plan, and I will set things straight. If you simply give your heart and life and goals and plans to me, just surrender, and I'll take care of it. Oh, God, you are so good. I pray that those that are wrestling this morning will wrestle no more and simply surrender. And that you will overwhelm them and change the trajectory of where they're going. Thank you, Jesus.